If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny Pena. You're listening to episode 1153 here in GTR. And guess what? I have always love to bring this person here because we always have great conversation about a lot of things. It doesn't have to be news because usually when we go to Bryant Park, we just have random conversation while we drink. So, ladies and gentlemen, from Throwdown Show, and also, he's going to be teaching at brightlive.com. By the time you listen to this, his first session already finished, is Tony Polanco. Tony, what's up?
Danny, what is going on, brother? Always happy to be back on Gamertag Radio. And today is going to be a very, very special episode, man. We're going to let people know what's up in a bit, but very excited about this. But yeah, man, looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, I know. Let's talk about a little bit about Bright, because that's something new. I've been doing it now for a couple months. It's been a great, phenomenal sessions. I love it. And the most important thing to me is just teaching and giving back to the people, man. I know you started doing this now with Bright. How excited are you for your first session? And for those who are listening, what the session is going to be about? And in the future, have you even planned for the next session now? Because that's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I should just make it public. Thank you for helping me get into with Bright, hooking up me up with the people and stuff. And the first session is going to be where actually all the sessions are going to be about game journalism, not game journalism, but online journalism, but with a more focus on gaming journalism, just to show people not only how to get in, but also what you do when you get in the door, right? So the first session that, it would happen by the time you guys hear this episode, but focusing on the basics, right? How to get started, who to contact, what to write about, how to pitch, all that stuff. And I'm also going to focus on not just the written part of it, because even though that is going to be the focus, also because there's a lot of video journalism going on too. I want to focus on that as well because, we're living in 2021, so I want to try to reach everything. And then as the weeks go on, I'm going to get into some deeper stuff, talking about SEO, hitting up editors, networking, which is always important, and even the craft, like the actual way you write, because there's a lot of things that I feel that a lot of journalists don't talk about too much because, we're all busy doing whatever we're doing. But, it is good. And like you said, to get back out there and tell people how to get into this space. You do it on your end with the podcasting because that's important, right? People helped us get where we are. So we got to give that back and bring more people into the fold. You know what I'm saying? The next generation. Yeah. And over the years, I've been asked, various questions about how to, get into journalism or whatever. So this will be a really good way for people to directly talk to me one-on-one and for me to give them advice. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, by the time you guys hear this, it would already happen. But from my standpoint, I haven't done it yet. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be dope.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what people had to say about just the sessions overall and everything, and it's good, Tony, that you're doing this and giving back, man. I think it's very important. A lot of people forget about that.
They do, unfortunately. So again, that's something you guys don't know, but Danny and I talk about this a lot. Paris too. It's like, how do we give back to the people? You know what I'm saying? How do we, just make the spaces better for everybody? That's very important. And you're right. A lot of people unfortunately forget about that, but we haven't forgotten it. We keep it real. We keep it honest to keep it to our roots, but we always keep pushing forward,
Yeah. And here's the thing too, for those that are listening, if you guys want to find out more about not only my sessions, but also Tony, just look us up, go to brightlive.com. So once you follow us and there's any new updates of like future sessions, you will definitely will get an update via email and everything, man. So yeah, so make sure to follow us and stay tuned because we're planning to do more. Yes. More stuff. And who knows? Maybe we'll do some collab, Tony.
Yeah,
knows,
right? Yeah, some crossovers. Right. Hey, I was in your first session. So, you know, don't be surprised if you see Danny pop up on one of mine's in the future, you know?
yeah. No, it's good. It's good. It's good to do this, man. All right, bro, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Yeah, make sure to post a review if you have any questions or feedback. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Tony, so this is a very important episode because, yo, the other day, Tony, I totally forgot about this. The other day was the 30th anniversary of Streets of Rage. Tony, wow. We talked about Streets of Rage last year, especially when Streets of Rage 4 came out. But that game is so iconic for many reasons. One, just the experience playing that for the first time, the soundtrack, the controls in the game, the characters that you choose. Everything. I remember seeing that in 1991 for the first time, man. I was like, damn, I don't have a Sega Genesis. I only have a Super Nintendo. How can I do this? And at that time, there were console wars, right, between the companies. But, man, I had friends that had a Genesis. I didn't. We will trade. I'll lend them my Super Nintendo with my games. They lend me their Sega Genesis with their games, especially Streets of Rage 1, and then later Streets of Rage 2, and et cetera, man. You know, but that game is very, very special to me. I used to play a lot of beat 'em up games as a kid at arcades, and this was the closest experience that I had a lot of fun. Of course, we played games like Double Dragon and Final Fight. It was cool and all, right? Even Ninja Turtles, everything, right? Especially Turtles in Time. That is one of my favorite games from them. But, man, Streets of Rage Part 1, dude. Part 2 especially, too. Those two games is very, very special to me. So hearing this 30 years, man, that's a very long time, man. a very long time.
It really is. It's crazy. Because, to us, it doesn't feel like 30 years. You know, because again, those memories we have of those games are so vivid. They're so embedded in our brains that it's like, yo, I remember this, like, because those feelings that we had playing those games originally, you know, so you guys know, Danny and I were like two parts of the country at this point, you know, but our love of this game brings us together. But it's like, yeah, man, like all those feelings are still fresh. I remember I was similar to you because I had the Super Nintendo first playing Final Fight. Love Final Fight. Right. I love that. But at the same time, this was a moment where like every game was almost a beat 'em up game. So we had a lot of those. So it took something special to really get your attention. Right now with me, I got into Streets of Rage, the first one. I played both back to back because they had already been released, both of them. So there are points even now where I don't know what levels belong to which game because I'm just like because they're all blended together. Like I'll be playing Streets of Rage 2 and I'll press the power button and I'm waiting for the cop car to show up with the bazooka and it doesn't do that. That's because it's the first game, you know. But what I loved about those two games because I was really into Final Fight and Turtles in Time on Super Nintendo, right? And then there were other games too, like Captain America and the Avengers, you know, beat 'em up games. But what I loved about those games was on Genesis, they were so raw and dirty. You know what I'm saying? Like felt it. Like it was so grimy in a good way. Like you felt like you were in a really messed up city that needed to be cleaned up. Like at Final Fight, like everything looked mad clean in comparison. But this was just raw and dirtier. Then you had that soundtrack, man. Like it just puts you in there. And at that point, you know, we had never heard music like that in a game. You know, like you could tell, like they weren't just trying to do video game music. This was like, you know, street music. You know, it put you in there, man. It was so dope, man. I know you especially, you know, since you were involved with music, like that really hit you. So would you like? How did the music just hit you when you first heard it, man?
Yeah, you know what? The first time I heard it, I remember during that time I listened to a lot of hip-hop, techno, like house music, especially, you know, I have family in the Bronx, so that was like a big thing back then. But I remember launching, forget about the music menu. I'm talking about the first stage.
Yeah.
Pressing play. I have my character. I was, for some strange reason, I was always pick, what's her name, Blade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will always will pick her. I don't know why, but I was like, oh, you know what?
I got an idea why, but keep going.
I'll tell you this. I think it was more of the moves that she was doing, and like in the menu where you select the characters. So like, you know what? I like the kick. I'll try that. So, because it's long, I'm talking about like long range.
Yeah.
Instead of punching, you know what I'm saying? So, but anyways, it'll say stage one, and you hear doom, doom, doom. That part, I was like, oh my God. It sounds like music that I listen to. How the hell they managed to do that? Right? So I'm into it, and you're still playing, and the music changes. And I'm like, oh my God. And then it repeats after a while, right? Because at that time, they only had a certain limited of like to sample the track and everything, right? But just going through that stage, then you go to the other stage, and now the music, the tone of the music is changing. Now it's like slow, hype, even the boss battles. That's when you got to be prepared. All right, it's coming, it's coming. Dude, it was something that it's hard to explain to people nowadays, because it's like it's hard to explain to a person young playing a game like Genesis. You know, the graphics is not great compared to the systems that are out now. But for me as a kid, seeing that, like just listening to it with the speakers loud, like I even did this, Tony. I fell in love with that game so much, and I loved the music so much, that I took my TV outside of the, like in the garage, right?
Yeah.
People could pass by and listen to me playing. But I loved the music so much that I wanted other people to listen to it too, because I was so into it, man. So into it. I had that speaker blasting out loud. And then you see all the kids around the neighborhood coming like, yo, what is this? In Dominican Republic, sitting down, they're like, oh, man, this game. They'll say, oh, this game está chulo. Like, oh, man, this game is dope. Like that, you know. So that was the biggest memory for me, man. And especially that first level, stage one. Oh, man. So what about you? Did you feel the same way, like just hearing that for the first time?
Like I said, because at that time, video game music didn't sound like that. Even on Super Nintendo, had a better sound chip, right? But in the Genesis, like obviously the sounds weren't good, but I think that music fit that sound chip so well. It was just a perfect combination. So when you heard that, again, the grittiness and the rawness of the music, I'm like, okay, man, this is crazy. And you mentioned this, but I'm just elaborating on it. I love how the music in every level starts a certain way and just keeps building and building and building. You get more and more hype until you get to the boss. And it's like at its apex, just going bananas, you know? And you're right. And I would love going to the options and just listen to the tracks on their own. You know, I'm like, yo, this is really hype. Because again, you never heard of music like that. But the thing, you know, just to segue to the other thing that was a really big deal about this game for me was the co-op. Like, yo, having your friends come over after school or on a weekend, you plug in that other controller and you just wait. Because those games are hard. You know, like you would need to have your friends there to beat them and stuff. And even if you didn't, you'd be like, all right, come back, start over and over and over again. We would beat this game over the weekend and just keep it going, because it was just such a blast, you know. And you know, the animations really helped, because again, they felt like so visceral with the sound effects too. Like, yo, Genesis was doing something special back then, man. Like, these guys really captured, like, lightning in a bottle with those two games. You know, the first, I mean, we'll get to three in a bit, but, like, those two, man, like, it just combination. But, yeah, what'd you think of the co-op aspect, man?
I love that. I love that. And especially later the stages, it gets harder and harder. But here's the thing. Okay, spoiler, because, you know, I know there's people that probably played it or moved on from that game. But at the end, you have to choose. If you beat be right before you fight the boss battle, he'll tell you straight up, hey, you want to join me or what? Like, there's, you have choices in the game. So if you make the wrong choice, you and your friend have to fight against each other and you decide after that what happens, you know, with, when in the game. But that's the part I loved. You know, I also loved one of my favorite levels in the game, playing especially co-op, is either the ship level.
Yeah.
Because I just love the soundtrack of that. Really, and the boss battle in there is really tough. And I also love the elevator level where you're going up and it's like a small elevator, but you're fighting with enemies and they're like nonstop coming in, nonstop coming in, right? But what I usually do, me and my friend, we just will throw them out of the, like, we'll grab them, throw them out. Grab them, throw them out. Then the level after that, which I really enjoy, is now you're inside of the rooftop of the building, right? Not the rooftop, but you're like in the top of the building and you're walking and you see the windows and you see the sun. No, actually the moon this nighttime. And the more you walk, now it's like slowly turning daytime because you've been fighting all night long.
Yeah.
Right? So that was something new and I've never seen something like that before too during that time. So that was something that I really, really enjoyed. But I love that you definitely I finished the game solo, but I think it's a better experience also having a friend there because now that person also could help you out because there's some bosses that is really, really difficult playing it by yourself.
Yeah, like those games, they had the difficulty of arcade games. Like they didn't slow it down just because it was a home console. Like you had to have your friends. Like, I mean, I eventually did beat it on my own, but like those first couple of times, it was like, bro, you needed your friend. And, you know, you go to their house and beat it and you come to, or like, cause we all had copies. Cause we needed this game. It was just so hype, you know? And then, you know, obviously in school, when you go to school, all the other kids are playing the game. So it just created this like really dope community, man. And again, as we're having a conversation, I'm just thinking about how great that game like took advantage of every aspect of the Genesis. The Genesis was kind of limited, you know, in retrospect, but it just utilized everything. Like, man, I know you said like maybe younger generations can't understand that. Like, it is hard to explain. Like, how do you convey, you know, the feelings that you had when you played this game? Because now things that started in this game are everywhere. You know, like we hear dope soundtracks, we have all these great graphics or whatever, but like a lot of it just came through here. And this game, you know, a lot of people say that it's even better than the beat 'em up games that were in the arcades. Like, it didn't matter if it didn't look as good. Like, people just liked it because, again, the controls were so... Till this day, you play this game now, bro. 1, 2, like, they still feel good. This is the series, especially the second one, where I still revisit it at least once a year. And I'm like, yo, this hasn't lost anything. And as a matter of fact, it's, you know, I'm pretty sure you feel the same way, too. I play that first level, man. It's, especially the second. Same game is my personal favorite, right? Play that game, that first level, man. You're in it. You're back. I'm back. I'm 11 years old again. Yeah, you know, I'm back. You know, it is so good, man. So there's a lot of memories. And again, it's just wild. You know, I was seeing those tweets too. I was like, wow, it's 30 years, man. And I started just thinking about it. Yeah. And then obviously, and this is also why we were so hyped for 4, you know, because like, yo, and you know, we'll probably get to 4 in a bit, but it's like, I love how that game just captured everything I loved about the series and took it to the next level, you know?
And not only that, like, I remember, you know, seeing Final Fight. I got to see it at arcade. And I know there was a Super Nintendo version that came out. That was also for launch. So that was, like, an exclusive for Super Nintendo. And also Super Mario World and everything, right? But I felt like Sega did a better job not only against the beat 'em up games for arcades, but also going against Super Nintendo. I had a better time playing Streets of Rage 1 than Final Fight. One, co-op. 2, the music. 3, I know Final Fight had that grimy look in some places. Like even they tried to do that with the train.
Yeah.
And I felt you know, for someone that grew up in New York, I felt like I got to see that more and experience that more and it felt like I was into it compared to Final Fight with Streets of Rage.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's like Streets of Rage felt more like New York, you know, because I'm from New York too. It's like it felt that way. And again, I think maybe because again, Capcom has a very specific look to their games. The Super Nintendo had a very specific kind of graphical output. So the games on there, even if they try to be, they didn't look as like dirty, you know, as like the Genesis just naturally just put them out like that. That's why, again, I keep saying like Streets of Rage is like the perfect Genesis game, because it just takes advantage of the system. And, you know, when you play, it doesn't feel like, because there are some games on Genesis you play like the first Mortal Kombat, like, yo, this looks kind of cheap compared to like Super Nintendo. This don't look good. But even now, and remember, the Genesis had a very limited color palette. It was like 64 colors, but this game just popped. Like, the colors were just in your face, you know, neon and all this other stuff. I'm like, wow, man, you felt that so much, you know. And it's just kind of funny, because, like, and it's also like, when, you know, I'm just thinking about this now, you know, playing this game, it's also like a time capsule. I'm like, yeah, there was a time when New York looked like that. It don't look like that anymore, really. It's all clean now. New York looks like Final Fight now in real life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And here's one thing I have to say, you know, as a person that played a lot of Sega Genesis games, the majority of the games, the music wasn't that great.
No,
it sounded bad. Even if you play a game like, let's go over the popular game, like Streets of Rage, not Streets of Rage, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. Yeah, it had blood and everything, right, with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But the sound was just like, ugh, I don't know. I just didn't like it, right? Super Nintendo had a better graphics, had more color, better sound. But that's why, to me, Streets of Rage is so special to me, because of all those things that I mentioned, right? And the developers managed to do that on the 16-bit console that is weaker than the Super Nintendo. And still to this day, if there's a DJ that grabbed that soundtrack and they put it out of a club, I will go nuts. Because I know what it is. Yeah. I know what it is. It's iconic. It's like, oh my God. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do that with a lot of those games with Super Nintendo. You can't do that.
No.
It's not that many. You know what I'm saying? But that's the part that is always, I'm always thinking about that. Like, how in the world they managed to make a game like that for the Sega Genesis? How? How?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, these guys were tapping into some magic, because it's like, this shouldn't be possible. You know, the only other series on Genesis I could think of that took advantage of their hardware like that was the Sonic games. Those games looked great, sounded great, you know, that's the only other series I could think of.
Like, exclusive
games. Yeah, because you're right. All the games you named, they're third parties, and the sounds just weren't there. The graphics weren't there like that. You know, they still play good, don't get me wrong, but it was just something missing. But Streets of Rage just had it all, man. But Danny, I did want to, because I, you know, we got to address the elephant in the room, man. Streets of Rage 3. That one is where they kind of lost me, man.
I'll tell you right now, I didn't like it. I hate that. To me, out of all the series, that's the one that I do not like at all. And also, here's the thing. Streets of Rage 1 was so successful that they developed the game quickly for part 2. Yeah. And I felt them developing that game really quickly was a better game out of all the series.
That's right.
Right? Like, part 1, they was just developing it, they developed the game, released it, but it was so big for Sega that they were like, yo, we got to work on the second one quick, because they were competing against Super Nintendo back in the days, right? Yeah. And 3... it felt like they took their time on that one, and that was like whack. I don't know. It just, the music wasn't there. Characters was fun. Yeah. Not gonna lie, characters was cool and all. I didn't enjoy it at all. Didn't enjoy it at all. I even unlocked those characters on Streets of Rage 4, and I'm like, meh. Like, I just have it there, but I didn't really care for it. I cared more of the characters that I played from Streets of Rage 1 and 2.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. Like, me and my boys, we were playing that. We're like, yo, what's up with this game? And the thing is, we were trying to tell ourselves that we like it just because of Streets of Rage, right? But the more we played it, it was like, yo, I don't know, this ain't like, and you know, just to expand on what you said, it's like, yeah, the music, man, it just felt like, for the lack of a better term, uninspired. It just seemed like they were just trying a bunch of weird stuff and wasn't working. The levels weren't really hitting. The character, like you said, were good, but like the enemies were kind of re-swaps of the older games. I'm like, you guys, like, I think you're right. It's like, since they kind of just took their time with it, they weren't really thinking. Because, like, when you were under pressure like that with the second game, I guess they had to just hit it. The other game I could think of, this is not a Genesis game, but the other game that was like that was the second Mega Man game. They rushed that because of the first game. It was successful. And you had one of the a legendary game out of that. You know, the music and everything was like, whoa, you know. And so I think, you know, you could make an argument that, like, if you're under pressure, that's when you get more creative because you have to. And you really saw that with Streets of Rage 2. Till this day, people talk about that game. But nobody Mega Man 2 and Streets of Rage 2. People talk about these games, but no one talks about 3 for good reason. Like, think about it. Me and Danny, we were there from the beginning. We're like, nah, not feeling this game at all.
You know what's crazy about that? I played Mega Man 2 first, then Part 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, I do have to say, the original composer, or the composer for 1 and 2, he didn't work on 3. And that's when you're like, okay, the magic is gone.
That's right, yeah. Because the magic is gone. That is, you know, we were talking about, that is a vital component of Streets of Rage. The music. The music is a key part of it. And that's why I'm so glad that when you got Streets of Rage 4, that was one of the first things we asked. Like, yo, who's doing the music? What's going on here? You know, and I'm so happy that the music is great in that game. It's fantastic, you know. And I guess we could segue to that, because yo, Danny, you know, we talked about this a lot, even on GTR. Like, bro, Streets of Rage 4, such a great game, man. It is exactly what it needed to be and more. Here's the thing: I knew this game was going to be dope, but it was even better than I expected. Even better, you know.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I'm with you, like. I remember when they announced Streets of Rage 4, that was the question I had, like, yo, they haven't mentioned anything about the music. They even had their own trailer announcing the soundtrack. That's how important it is.
Exactly.
Very important. And I'm not saying you have to have the original composer and that's it. It was good they had the original one, but also they had new producers, new artists that worked on music and everything, right? And that's good. Now, I know there's a new DLC that just came out.
Yeah.
New characters and everything, a new mode, but also has, I believe, 50 minutes worth of new music, too.
Ooh.
I haven't tried out yet. I have it.
Neither have I.
I have it there. Actually, I'm going to be traveling, so I'm going to download it also for the Nintendo Switch, and I'm going to try it out. I'm going to put some headphones on and just enjoy the ride. Enjoy it, man. Because here's the thing. I feel like nowadays, a lot of people just want the graphics, which is cool. It's fine. I get it. It looks beautiful and everything. But to me, music is the most important. And for me, not for everybody, but overall, it's the experience, right? But something about music, is where it hits you as a gamer. Are you nervous? Are you scared? Are you hype? Are you like, oh my God, the boss is coming, get ready? Like that type of thing. Because that's, even when you play the original games of Streets of Rage, and Tony, every time you hear that music, you know what's coming. You know what's coming, right? But even the thing that I like about Streets of Rage 4 is, okay, the music starts. And I think they even found the perfect game to start that first level. But now 2020, 2021 in the game, and it worked out perfectly. But the only difference is the further you go in the game, the music changes during the level, right? So it's not like when you play a game like Streets of Rage 1 and 2 and 3, that just, you hear the music, it's awesome and everything, and it just repeats. This one is repeat, change. And then every boss had a different song.
That's right.
So I'm like, oh my God, the music is changing. This is a boss. Like, again, the music and the sound effects changed my mood as a gamer. So I'm like, do I have to be prepared? What's coming? I'm nervous. Like, all that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it was like that for you. Was it?
Yeah, it was, man. Like, again, I love how that music, like, throughout every level, like, and even more so than the originals, it just kept changing. And there's one specific, this one blew me away. It was the second level where you're in the police station, right? There's this one part. It's after you find the arcade. I love that, by the way. You play the arcade and you go back to the old games. Yeah, dope. So dope. Right. So after that part, you go down this hall and there's cops with like the everything just stops, right? Even the music kind of slows down and you see this cop with a taser, right? He comes at you and the music's still playing, but it's very low into the mix. You're like, this is kind of interesting. So you're beating up the boss. As soon as you beat him and take his taser, boom, the music comes back up again. It's like, oh, this is crazy right now. You know, just the way they did that. And I remember this was like after, because the game thankfully has like online co-op. I'm playing this with my cousin. We used to play the original, right? And he's a DJ himself. So he, every 5 minutes, yo, this music slaps, this music slaps, this music slaps. Yo, you heard this? And he would make, yo, stop, stop, stop. And he, so he just listened to it, you know? So I, this game, again, took the music to the next level, man. I'm even going to say this, you know, obviously, I will always love Streets of Rage 2 specifically. That's my favorite of the series. But I think objectively speaking, I think Streets of Rage 4 is the best in the series, man, because it takes everything that the old games had and just takes it to a whole other level, you know? And just to cut back to another thing, there's another reason why this game is very special to me, right? Because this game came out right at during the height of the pandemic when it first started, right? Everybody was depressed, feeling upset or whatever. Yo, when I played this, Danny, all that stuff went away, man. I was back to being a kid again, chilling, happy, you know? And it I know for some people, like their COVID game was like Animal Crossing. For me, it was Streets of Rage 4. That and Doom Eternal. Like, those were my games. But this one specifically, it hit that nostalgia. I'm like, yeah, man, everything's going to be all right. We got Streets of Rage right now. We waited 16 years for this game, and it just dropped, and it was fantastic, man. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I kind of have to flog myself a little bit for not playing this DLC yet, but I know when I get to it, it's going to be great, and I'm going to feel it again. Yo, and this is how hype I was for this game. I bought this game on everything, man, because I want to support it. I bought it on PlayStation, Switch, Xbox, PC. I bought it on everything because I want the developers to know, thank you. I want more of this, you know? Oh, it's so good, man. Like, that's a highlight right there. And again, I love how it just took everything we had from the old games and just made it better. The animations were so tight. It just felt gritty. And then some of the Easter eggs, like that Shinobi in there. All this stuff was so good, man. Like, I don't know how like newer audiences take it, but for guys like us, it was fantastic.
But this is also, you have to understand that this was made by fans of the series. Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, let's just work with the studio and just create a game. They're fans of the series. Not only that, they selectively picked the most iconic songs from all the games and put it in Streets of Rage 4 also. So, hey, you already listened to the new soundtrack? Hey, there is a retro mode. You could even change the graphics if you want to play like the old school way too, if you're into it. You know, like, I feel like they managed to please the fans old and new with this game. And I did the same thing, Tony. I bought every single version. Like, I have so many hours on the Xbox version, you know, even with the whole achievements and everything. This game was also available on Game Pass, and I was very happy about that. And I also bought the Switch version, and I have tons of hours on that because now I'm playing on the go, you know, playing, you know, at home and everything. And, dude, I just truly, truly love this game. And it's crazy that the game changed our lives 30 years ago. That really did, man. 30 years ago. Think about that, man. We could talk about like games like kind of games like Sonic, Mario, Tetris, even Zelda, Metroid, all these iconic classic games, Punch Out, you know, those games back in the days. But to me, Streets of Rage is always gonna be in my like top games of all time for me. I'll put it up there like with, you know, a game like Zelda 64, PSO, like I'll put even Super Metroid, like I will put that game, even the 1 and 2, not 3, 1 and 2, I'll put it there too, on like my favorite games of all time ever, man. It completely made me change my mind that the game just doesn't have to be graphically looks great, but the music and the side effects and even stuff in the background. Even when you look, when you're at the beach, you see the water, and like you see it passing through the sand, right? Or when you have the characters just standing, like with Blade, she's fixing her hair, like touching her hair and getting ready to fight. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I've never seen that before. Even with Sonic, when you leave Sonic just standing there for a couple of seconds, just standing, he looks at you like, okay, are you going to play or what?
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's stamping his foot like, man.
Super Nintendo, I didn't see that in Super Nintendo. Like, they were not doing that. They were doing the, you know, the game looks good graphically, sound is amazing, 16-bit, you know, and they had the, what was it, Mode 7?
Yeah, Mode Super 7, Nintendo, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was cool and all, but man, not like this. Not like this at all.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, we're going to continue with the show, but first let's talk about sponsor Oregon State University eCampus. Gamers like you know how rewarding it is to begin a quest and see it through till the end. Now, Oregon State University eCampus wants to help you complete another journey as you pursue your degree online. Oregon State University eCampus is a nationally ranked provider of online education, delivering more than 80 programs online. And you can go right now, check it out. And you know, I mentioned this multiple times on the podcast here on Gamer Talk Radio, is that I wish I had something like this back in the early days when I started in my content creation career. That's why I highly recommend for you, those that are curious about photography, digital communication, business, all that, go there right now to the official website and check out all 80 programs online right now. You can advance your career by earning a degree in fields like computer science, business, and engineering. Just look at Jake Chastain. He's a photographer who travels the world capturing music's biggest stars on stage. And he is someone who built his career as a creative by gaining real-world skills as he completed his digital communication arts degree online with Oregon State. Oregon State is ranked number 4 in the nation for online education by U.S. News and World Report. So GTR listeners, to learn more about Jake, the digital communication art degrees, and the 80-plus programs eCampus delivers online, visit ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR today. And that's ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
You know what it is, too? This game, like, to me, exemplifies the attitude of Genesis in general, right? Because, again, before that, games were marketed towards children, basically. Sega was like, no, we're teenagers now, bro. We're like, we got to get more raw. And, like, all their characters had, like attitude. Like you said, like, look at Sonic. He looks right at you. He's like, yo, pissed. What are we doing here?
Angry.
He's like, mad. He's mad. He's like, yo, no. He's like, yo, bro, we got to get going, man. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know? And even the Streets of Rage characters, when they're doing their idle animation, they'll stop and do something else. Like, okay, these guys, they're ready to tussle. They want to fight. Like, again, so the game was also a good encapsulation of the Genesis attitude, man. Like, yo, like, we're here. We're raw, man. We're just going to just push ahead and keep doing it. Yo, one quick thing. Limited Run Games had this dope limited collector's edition of Streets of Rage 4 that came in a box that looked like a Sega Genesis cartridge. I bought that too.
You did?
Yeah, man, I did. I wonder if that's available.
Do you think they have that available still? I'll still buy that.
You should check. Yeah, because I think it costs like $75. It's worth it. I'm like, no, I need to have. I didn't even take it out the wrapper. I'm like, nope, keep it in here. You should check because, like, yo, it's so dope. Big Genesis. Even says Genesis on the side. Remember that? Oh, my God.
You know what? I have to mention this. I know that this game came out for the Game Gear, another Streets of Rage. I've never played that game. Neither have I.
I know it exists, but I never played it.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I bring that up is because when you switch the soundtrack to retro mode, you hear some of the tracks from the Game Gear version in there. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm learning, I'm like, yo, is this like another version I've never played before? Or this is like a remix? No, it was actually from the Game Gear. And I've never, ever played that. You know, so But I also want to bring up, Tony, like, mm-hmm. what was your favorite level all-time Streets of Rage?
Oh, man. Like I said, it's that first level in the second game. Like, that's what got me. Just the intro of it, man. Because, again, you're coming off a Streets of Rage 1 and stuff, and it was just like that, but just more of it. And as soon as, like, the music is like, dan, 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 I'm like, oh, this is it. So every time I hear that, you know, oh, my God. So, and again, I love the way that level proceeds, because you're going down this street. You know, there's neon stores and stuff. You know, you're breaking stuff. You're hitting dudes with pipes. And then the level starts going down, right? Like, okay, this is dope. This is dope. Then you're coming through, and then this car just smacks into a wall. Like, yo, what is going on here? Yeah. And then you get to what you think is the boss, right? You know, Jackal, I believe, is the dude with the knives. Look like Freddy Krueger. You beat up. Like, I beat level. Oh, wait, there's more? You go into the club, right? You start beating up more people.
Yeah.
And then you finally get to that alley. That like, it's like a rainy alley. It's dark. And you get to that you're fighting that one pimp-looking dude. It's like, that level is so dope, man. But but there's other levels too. Like, I think they had like one that had like glass in it, because some levels will hurt you. You got to be careful. Like, they'll shoot flames and stuff. You know,
the bridge with the bikes and everything. Yeah, that was a really tough level. Yeah. I really,
that was for me. It was the first level in the second game. That's what did it for me.
Yeah, man. That one is up there for me. And also, I have to mention this: that boat from part one.
The boat.
That level. The reason is I love it so much, even though the bosses in that one is extremely tough.
Yes.
Because it's twins, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't the... I don't remember the name of the characters, but they were freaking tough.
Yeah, I know who you're
talking
about. They were tough. They were tough. Yeah, yeah.
But the part that I loved the most was the music of that level. Oh, my God, Tony. It is so freaking good. So good. And you hear... Oh, you know what? You guys got to look it up.
Yeah.
I even... search for the soundtrack on Spotify. That's how much I love it so much, man. But if you go on YouTube, you'll see the composer. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Tony. It's like an hour long, him DJing at a club.
Oh, wow.
And he played all the soundtrack, 1, 2, and 3. This is like...
Oh, no, I got to watch this.
Yo,
I got to watch this.
You had to sit, honestly, put your TV on and just watch it. And... pay attention to the crowd. This was like I think it was a Red Bull event that they had. Yeah. And I think this was in Europe. I can't quite remember where exactly. Pay attention to the crowd and listen to the songs that they're playing. Oh my God. The way how he blends the music from one track to the next, I'm like, yo, this is perfect. And he'll play some other songs from like Shinobi and other tracks that he worked on, right?
Yeah.
But the majority is just Streets of Rage. Oh.
That's what people want to hear, man. That's what they want to hear, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, definitely. Now, one last thing, Tony.
Yeah.
Why, for you as a gamer and as a fan of Streets of Rage, the series, you know, that the first game came out 30 years ago, why do you think this, in your opinion, is the most important game that you ever played from back in the days? And Did this game change your life as a gamer?
Yeah, it did, because it, like I said before, it was just part of that Genesis experience. Like, yo, we're not here playing these little kiddie games anymore. This is raw stuff right now. And that game, you know, just looking at it now as an adult, like, it just shows me what's possible, you know, on limited hardware if you have vision and passion. Because you could tell that every single bit of these two games just drips with passion, you know, and and I think even people who have never played this game before, who are younger, they play, it's like, okay, there's something special about this game, even if they can't articulate it, right? So that's what it is. That game, like, it is essential to the Genesis, and just because of the memories I have, you know, of playing with my friends and stuff, and just seeing what was like possible within the genre of the beat 'em ups. It'll always be an iconic game to me, man. Like, again, I hear that music, I'm there, bro. I'm transported, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Streets of Rage is legendary.
Yeah, and I highly recommend for anyone that doesn't matter what type of system you have, because I bought so many different versions of this, like from like collections and like individual. I even got this on the iPad. Like, that's how much I love this game, man. You know, I even bought there is the Sega, it's like a Sega collection of all Genesis games in there, Sonic, everything, and you will get to play Streets of Rage 1 and 2 and 3, and it has like the history of each one and everything. Highly recommended. I even purchased that as a disc when it also came out during the era of the Xbox 360. You know, yeah, so I highly recommend for anyone that fans of just beat 'em up games, and if you never play Streets of Rage and you just want to see how it is and why we're so passionate about these games, go out there and buy it. It's really cheap. You could get it for like $20 or anything, or even less.
You know, probably less by now, but you know, you're right. And this is literally on every Genesis collection for a reason. It's iconic, you know. So yeah, like Danny said, do yourself a favor. Understand why we're so passionate about this. Understand why we're able to spend an entire podcast, 45 minutes, talking about this series. Yeah, like, this is real for us, you know? And we want everybody else to experience it.
And I have to mention this. I know during the Sega Dreamcast days, Sega was working on a Streets of Rage game for that.
That's right.
And I've seen the videos. I was worried. Thank God that game never got released. It got canceled. Thank God, because it looked terrible. Terrible. They were trying to do the whole 3D open world fight. It just didn't look good.
Oh, yo, I got to bring this up. This, such a great point here. Okay. Okay. This is why I'm so happy Streets of Rage 4 came out now, right? If this game would have came out 10, 15 years ago, it would have been 3D because that was the big thing, right? But starting within the last like five or so, whatever years, people wanted to go back to the retro type of style. That's why indies, you know, this one, one of the things I'm thankful about indie games, like they took those old type of graphics, but brought them back to the new, you know, the new world. So it made people go, okay, 2D games are fine. Because again, there was that point in time where they were like, nope, no 2D games anymore. We're only doing 3D. So we got this game at the exact amount of time. And Streets of Rage 4, to me, you know what it reminds me of? Right. It's like Sonic Mania. Like, remember when that came out? We had that classic game we've been waiting. Like, because Sonic, I'm sorry. I know some people like these games. I don't feel it works as a 3D game. I don't think any of those 3D Sonic games have been well. I don't think Streets of Rage will work as a 3D game either. It needs to be 2D. It needs to be side-scrolling, beat them up. And I'm so glad it got made now, because if this would have been made, like you said, during the Dreamcast era, no, it would have been, it could have been like detrimental to the whole franchise. So it just came out at the right time where people are willing to play these type of games. They want these type of games. So it was just serendipity, man. And I'm so glad, like you said, it was made by fans. Just like Sonic Mania. Sonic Mania was made by fans. Sega was like, yo, you guys want to do this? Go ahead. And we got dope game, you know? So
yeah.
I just hope we see more of it, because it's just it's iconic. Iconic franchise, bro.
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to be the last time I'm going to have Tony here, because we have a couple of things that come up in the future. Hopefully everything goes through that I would love for us to have the conversation. But I do have one more question, Tony.
Yes.
The new Ninja Turtles. And also, 2D, not 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me a lot of Turtles in Time. It's coming, and now it's four players, of course, also.
Let's go.
We're going to get to see that. Again, that's another game I feel like is very important in the beat-em-up genre. They're releasing a new one coming out. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but there was a teaser that came out a couple months back. It looks really good, man. It got me so excited. So excited about Ninja Turtles, man. How excited are you to try that game, man, as a fan of beat 'em up?
Oh, my God, Danny. Like, you need to have me back on when we talk about the 30th anniversary of Turtles in Time, man.
Yes.
This game, we just spent an entire podcast talking about how much we love Streets of Rage. But for me, my favorite beat 'em up of all time is Turtles in Time. Because back in those days, Ninja Turtles was my favorite thing. I used to watch the cartoon all the time, right? So when I got this game, bro, that was it for me, man. Like, we and my boys played all the time on Super Nintendo. It was just so good. And even now, you know, when we play it through, like, emulation, because unfortunately it's not available, this is so good. So this specific game, I don't know what the actual name of it is, the new Ninja Turtles game. Every time, because, you know, we had E3s and all that, I'm like, where's the Ninja Turtles game? Are we going to get an announcement here? That's probably one of the games I am the most hyped for, just because of the fact that they went back to that old school, like, Turtles in Time, like, retro style. I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait. I'm trying to contain myself right now just thinking about it, just because of how good it was. Remember that first level, bro? New York, you know, Big Apple, 3 a.m. Bro, you kidding me right now? Oh my God.
Now, good. You play the arcade, right? The original arcade version.
Yes, I did.
So I remember playing that a lot. I'm like, yo, this game is dope. Yo, when they released that game for the Super Nintendo, and you put it on, you see the Konami, that intro. And the music starts on the 16-bit console. I was like, what? Play it. One of the best games I ever played. It's so good. Turtles in Time is really good. And here's the thing. I know the developers of Bayonetta. Oh, my God.
Oh, Platinum.
Platinum, right? Platinum Games.
Yeah, Platinum Games, yeah.
They worked on the Ninja Turtle game, which I got.
That's right.
Not that good. Very short. Very short game. Not that memorable at all. I played, I'm like, I just stopped. Like, you could even find the game. Like, they took the game off the store, I think. You could search online, whatever, but I didn't like it at all. Thank God. They gave me a review code, so I remember getting it. But I think the Ninja Turtles, the games that works for them also for that series is
2D games.
2D games, man.
Yeah.
3D games. It's not every game needs to be 3D, man.
I agree.
Or open world. Just keep it 2D. You know, it's a very small group of games that from back in the days that will work for like now. But I think to play it safe and just continue the games to have it like that to be fun is just keep it 2D, man.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, people are okay with it. They're fine with 2D games. So I'm so glad that the developers of the Zoo Turtles games like, no, just keep it the way people want it, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to say this real quick. I even loved, back in the day, it was called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 on Nintendo, right? It was really the first arcade game, right? Yeah. That was great. Great side-scrolling beat-em-up game. But yeah, when you got to Turtles in Time, that was another level. I didn't like the Ubisoft updated one that they did, like, maybe 10 years ago. Yeah. I didn't really like that. It was still 2D side-scrolling, but it had 3D graphics. I wasn't really feeling that, you know? So I'm really glad that this game, you know, is what it is. I'm just like, yo, can we get a release date here?
Wait,
like,
did you play the first one? The first Ninja Turtle game that came out for the original Nintendo?
Yeah, the super hard one, yo, bro, where like you're swimming in the electric, yo.
Yo, I hate that game so much. I finished it. First of all, there was no saves.
No saves.
I finished that game, Tony.
Yo, that's crazy. I didn't finish it, Danny. I couldn't finish it, bro.
I finished the game. It took me forever. I'm like, no, I'm going to beat this game. I finished it. It had one of the worst endings I've ever seen in the game. It's like Master Splinter and all the Ninja Turtles, let's eat pizza. Game over.
So, hold on. After all that struggle, after being punished all those hours, that's all you get now. That's crazy.
And I said to myself, I'm never going to play this game ever in my life. Never again.
Yeah, no that game, I'm still traumatized by that game, bro.
Yeah, it was so hard. Especially the water. Ugh.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. The electric, like, why? Why are you doing this to kids, man? 5 years old, you get punished.
And those kids were not cheap. They were not cheap. Oh, my God. People complain, $70. Dude, we had to pay $80-$90 back in the days for games, man.
In 1980s and 90s money, think about it. That's like $120 now, you know? And we got our butts kicked by these games, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But, yeah, Turtles in Time. And, again, that goes back to the Streets of Rage. Like, we love these type of games, so we're so happy to finally have them back, you know? It's so good.
Yeah, no, it's good that we had this talk, Tony, because you know what it is? It's good to take a break from the new games and the news and all that stuff and let's talk about the good stuff, you know, the good, memorable games that change our lives as a gamer and even as content creators because, you know, we talk about it on our shows, you know what I'm saying? So it's important to do that once in a while. Like, yo, let's take a break. Let's talk about old school, man, old school games, you know what I'm saying?
And make us feel good.
And there's a lot of people that listen to our show that they're young, they never experienced it. Maybe their parents play the games, but they haven't, you know, so it's good that we talked about this, man. And at the same time, they could learn the history of those games that we played back in the days, you know. So it's good that we had this talk. Yeah, very excited.
I love it. This is important, too, just to show people, it's like, yo, we're in this gaming industry for a reason because we love this stuff. So going back to, you know, what made us who we are, got to talk about it. Because, again, even if people who are listening to this having to play these games, they feel that passion and then they're curious and then they want to check them out.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's definitely good. And again, I'm so glad at least the Streets of Rage games are so readily available. Please check them out. You're in for a treat. You can skip three. You don't need to worry about that.
Too much. I mean, you could play it if you're just curious, but
you know,
it's not memorable. It's just whatever. But yeah, Tony, if anybody would like to follow you, listen to your show and also mention whatever you want to promote, man, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So you can check me out on Twitter at RomuDeth. That's RomuDeth. And in my bio, you can see links to the places I write for. I write for PC Mag and Laptop Mag. And I'm also host of the Throwdown Show podcast that goes live on Twitch every Thursday and Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday, we cover all the gaming news. And Sunday, we answer your questions. So make sure you check us out at Throwdown Show. We're also on Twitter. And also for the future, and I will be promoting this heavily, check me out over on Bright Live, where I will be telling you guys how to get into game journalism. We're going to be covering everything, you know, and, you know, like Danny said, we're going to be doing some collaborations in the future. So stay tuned, man. We got a lot of cool stuff coming for you guys.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. Can't wait. And thanks, Tony, for joining and for having this conversation, man. I just love doing the random, like, hey, let's talk about this game. Let's talk about that, you know, just to surprise the listeners, man. You know, everybody's probably expecting, okay, what games are they going to be talking about?
Yeah.
Are they going to talk about the new ones that's coming out soon? No. Let's take it back in the day.
Yeah, we apologize if we didn't talk about shooting fruit in Halo. We're not here for that.
No, not that trash. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But everyone, head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio or The Rolldown Show. Make sure to subscribe, give us a follow, and support. Actually, share that to your friends. Actually, you know what? Share this podcast episode to your friends, especially the older ones that played Streets of Rage. If you like it, you want to hear these type of conversations, subscribe to GTR and Throwdown Show.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, of course, we always talk about the old school. Always talk about the old school, you know?
Yeah,
that's what we do. Again, it's important to talk about that stuff, the things that we're passionate about, man.
Yeah, definitely. And Tony, invite me one of these days to your show, man.
We got to have you back on, man. Yeah, because news has been kind of slow lately, but we got to have you back. I should just do a whole episode about old school games and just have you on.
Oh, let's do it. No, man, I have tons of crazy memories I could bring up. But yeah, everyone, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Right, and until next time, I'm gonna be out next episode. Again, I'm gonna be traveling, so don't worry, I'll be back, and there's gonna be more content coming up in the future. I have some cool stuff coming up, very cool stuff. So stay tuned. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.